He's in the transformation business, and repentance is simply when we change our minds and change our direction so deeply that it changes us.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Well, hey, if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 22 through 23. We can go ahead and pull that up on the screen. And a couple of reasons why I want to talk to you about this passage today. I've been marinating in this text for the past few months. When you look at this text, like, it actually lists everything that you and I want out of life. And the reason why I want to talk to you about this is because, really three reasons. One, I'm from San Jose, California, and I don't know if you guys heard, there's been an election going on. And I just need to remind myself that I'm called to walk in love. I'm called to walk in joy. I'm called to be a carrier of peace, even in the midst of life's highs and lows. Election seasons, not election seasons. Visiting family for Thanksgiving, just on vacation. Whatever you're doing, like, the midst of life's ups and downs, we're called to be carriers of the fruit of the Spirit, to display this everywhere we go. Second reason I want to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit today is because it kind of serves as a mirror. I don't know if anybody, if you're over the age of 30, you've probably experienced this, but have you ever looked in the mirror and seen some things that should not be there? Well, once I turned 30, I started looking in the mirror and I'd see some hairs growing where hairs should not be growing. I started seeing hairs fall out where hair is actually supposed to be. And whenever you see hairs growing out of your ears or out of your nose, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to pluck those bad boys, right? You're supposed to pluck those bad boys. And whenever you look at the fruit of the Spirit, like we just saw on the screen, it's just a reminder, hey, if there's supposed to be love, but you feel a little bit of hate, or maybe you're supposed to be walking in peace, but man, you look in the mirror and you see, I got some anxiety. It just lets you know, man, we got to do some plucking. Let you know maybe I've allowed some stuff into my life that I should not have. It lets me know that, man, that maybe I haven't engaged in some actions that maybe I should, because the third reason we're doing this is because this is what God has for you. I don't know if you've been around church for a long time, but this is actually what God has called you to. These are the good things that God has for your life. He wants you to be people who experience His love, who experience His joy, who experience His peace, not just so you can display it to the world. He wants it for you. He wants this for you. And so it's vital for us to take hold of it. So let's jump into the text. If you're willing, if we do this at my church, I know you probably don't do it here, but if you're willing and able, would you stand to your feet with me in honor of God's words? We read this passage together. And then when we get to this red letter word, if you could, really loud, really proud, read that word out loud with me. Here's what God's word says to us today. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, a byproduct of the Holy Spirit's activity in your life, when your life is full of the presence of God, this is what your life's going to look like. It's going to look like a life of love, of joy, of peace, patience. Help me out with this one.
Kindness.
He's got kindness. Man, how we could use a little bit more of that in our world today. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, the Bible says there is no law. In other words, you can't put this into legislation. This is not just something that you can put on a document. It's not something you can just learn in your head. All these things flow from the heart. So let's ask God to help us to be these type of people, to not only experience these things, but to display these things, to bear the fruit of this week at Thanksgiving and all throughout our lives. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you're a good and gracious God. And God, you got good things for your kids. And so I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to not only understand kindness, to not only understand the fruit of the Spirit, but God, help us to experience it on the core of who we are so we can display it. The world around us that desperately need us. God, you called us to be different. Help us as your kids, God, to model your attributes that we just read. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. Well, man, it is such an honor to always be here with you when I get to come back to Southwest Florida and be with the Breeze Church family. And you guys have tremendous church. I want you to know that. I get to speak at a variety of churches, but man, the climate here, the culture you guys have set of kindness, welcoming presence, like I walk in, so many smiling faces, and such an honor to be here. And you guys have great leadership. The pastoral staff here is tremendous. I hope you guys know that, appreciate that. And you guys do know that. Yeah, it's awesome pastoral staff. And I love your lead pastors, Pastor Blake and Brittany. I've known these two for about 20 years now. It makes me feel like I'm getting old. But I can tell you this, consistency over time is the best litmus test. And your pastors have proven consistency over time. And I can just tell you as their friend and family member, they love you guys. They talk about you. They talk about you more than your mama probably talks about you. They for sure pray for you just as much or more than your mama prays for you. If your mama's gone into heaven, you got a couple here that prays for you consistently. Just awesome, awesome shepherds, pastors' hearts. We honor you guys. Doing a great job leading here. Yeah, so we appreciate them. Well, I want to talk to you about one of the fruits of the Spirit. Then we're going to talk about how we can get all the fruit of the Spirit into our lives so we can display this. But I want to specifically talk to you about that word you read in the color red, kindness. That Hebrew word, the Old Testament's primarily written in Hebrew, New Testament primarily written in Greek. But this Hebrew word appears over 250 times throughout the Old Testament. It's this Hebrew word, chesed. And it's an attribute of who God is. And as we get more of God into us, we can display the character of God to the world around us. But here's what chesed literally means. It carries the idea of loving kindness, of steadfast love, of mercy, loyalty. It refers to a covenantal love. So not just a temporary love, not just an emotional love, but a covenant type of love, where kindness is not just an action, but it's a commitment to love and support others in faithful and enduring way. And don't miss this last part, often regardless of the recipient's worthiness of it. And aren't you thankful God loves you like that? Aren't you thankful God's kind regardless of your worthiness of it? Like he's just a good and gracious God, and he displays kindness to his people. We see this word appear over 120 times in Psalms alone. Here's one, Psalms 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness, his chesed, it endures forever. In other words, you're never going to go to God and say, God, could you show me some kindness? And he's like, I'm sorry, Tim. I've already given my last dose to Pastor Chris. I don't have any more for you. No, his loving kindness endures forever. It never runs out. Lamentations 3:22, the Lord's loving kindness, there it is again, his chesed, indeed, it never ceases. His compassions never fail. Watch this, every morning, they're new for you. Great is his faithfulness. The last one, Exodus 34:6, God's appeared to Moses, and he sent him to release his people out of captivity in Egypt. And he appears to Moses, and Moses is like, man, I think you got the wrong guy. Can you send someone else? You guys might remember the story. And he's like, well, okay, I'll go, but who should I say sent me? And he's like, I am who I am. He's like, well, let me see you. Let me see who you are. Then I'll trust you. Then I'll go. And the Lord's like, hey, I'm holy. You're not. If I appear to you, you're going to like, I'm going to turn you to a grease spot because it's just the way it works. But I'll allow my shadow to cast in front of this rock, and then you'll see my form. And the form of God himself goes in shadow in front of this rock. And as he's going in front of this rock, he declares who he is to Moses. And here's what he says he is. He says, then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, like the ruler, the Lord God. Here's who God is, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. The Lord God who rules the universe, he's abounding in loving kindness. And as his kids, he invites us just to display his loving kindness everywhere we go. If we jump to the New Testament, it's primarily written in Greek. And if this is where your notes begin, if you're taking notes, here's what they are. Kindness, and this is literally the Greek definition, kindness is to provide something beneficial for someone as an act of kindness. To be kind is just to do something for someone that will benefit them, maybe of no benefit to you, but actually is going to benefit someone else. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind. Like it's actually a command. Be kind to one another. And here's the issue, tenderhearted. If we're going to be kind, it really comes down to this heart. Be tenderhearted towards one another, forgiving one another just as God has forgiven you. And aren't you grateful the Lord's forgiven you? As he's forgiven you, he invites us to be forgiving of other people. But if we're going to do that, we've got to be tenderhearted. So really when it comes to kindness, to displaying kindness, this is in your notes, kindness is a heart issue. You can't just understand kindness. If we're going to bear the fruit of kindness, we got to, it really begins in our heart. And here's the challenge. We're living in times that are, I just believe, very near the end times. And here's how Jesus himself described what the end times would be like. Matthew 24:12 says, and because of the increase of wickedness, anybody recognize the increase of wickedness around us? Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Like it's going to be hard to keep a tender heart as we near these end times. Because of the increase of wickedness all around us, we can just become very calloused towards it. As people are posting things that are flat-out lies, it's hard to keep a tender heart. As people are saying things that are not true, as AI kind of makes these things look very, very real, it's hard to be a people who just walk in kindness. We live in San Jose, California, and we're about 45 minutes outside of San Francisco. And San Jose is actually bigger than San Francisco. It's the third largest city in the state of California. But we often travel to Oakland or to San Francisco for these basketball tournaments with our boys. And we were at a Subway in between games just a couple weeks ago in San Francisco in downtown area. And we're there ordering Subway sandwiches. My family of five, I got a little girl and two boys, and my wife's there with me. And we're about to pay, and this dude from just walks in off the street. Check this out. He grabs a cup, smashes it. And these two little ladies behind the counter are like, "Sir, you can't do that. Sir, you got to pay for that." And he's like, smashes it again. He's like, "What are you going to do? You can't stop me." Grabs some chips, refills his soda, and walks straight out. I'm like, is this real life? I had a buddy post something on Instagram yesterday. He's at the mall doing Christmas shopping in Pleasanton, California, this suburb that's actually pretty nice, supposed to be more high-end area. These three guys actually walked in with hammers. They went up to this jewelry case, start smashing the glass and steal all the jewelry out of it. I'm like, is this for real? Is this real life? Is this really happening in real time? And it's hard for me as a man who lives in that area not to respond in anger, not to respond in hate, I certainly don't feel like displaying kindness in moments like that. And Jesus is saying, hey, because of the increase of wickedness, it's going to be hard to keep a tender heart. The love of most will grow cold. Paul talks to young Timothy about the end times and describes characteristics that will accompany the end times, and see if you can recognize any of these. 2 Timothy 3:1. Says, you should know this, Timothy, which, by the way, is just a great name, isn't it, Pastor Tim? I mean, I feel like he's writing to me personally. Yes, Paul, what do you have to say? You should know, Timothy, that in the last days there'll be very difficult times. And that word difficult times is an interesting word, because it's not difficult times just because of the economy, not just because dudes are smashing jewelry cases and stealing stuff. It literally means infused with demonic force behind it. We see this word used in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. And Jesus is approaching this town, and he meets two demon-possessed men who are causing a very difficult time for people walking by. And so this literally means what Paul's talking about. It's not just difficult times because of the housing market, because of increase of hurricanes, because of all the craziness you guys have been experiencing. It's actually infused with demonic force behind it. And so if you have a hard time being a person who experiences and displays the fruit of the Spirit, this is just a reminder that it's a very real spiritual battle you're in. And as we approach these end times, it's going to be very difficult times, infused with demonic force behind it. He says, for people will love only themselves and their money. I don't know if you've ever heard of someone like that. That they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. Can you imagine this? Disobedient to their parents. They will be a mark of the end time generation will be an ungrateful generation. They will consider nothing as sacred. And that's certainly our culture today. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others. They will have no self-control. Like the fruit of the Spirit will be removed. Like they won't display the fruit of the Spirit in any way. They'll be cruel. They'll hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. They'll love pleasure rather than love God. Like they'll know, yeah, I know God's word says that, but I just want to do this. Describes this end time culture. Watch this. They will reject. They will act religious. And so they might show up to the Breeze Church. They might put on a good front on Sunday. But they'll reject the power that can make them godly. And here's Paul's strong encouragement. He says, hey, you better stay away from people like that. And as we approach these end times, he really uses four words to characterize the culture. And the New King James actually lists them, and this is what I'm going to use to frame up the remainder of our time. He says, hey, they're going to be unthankful, they're going to be unholy, they're going to be unloving, it's going to be unforgiving. And if we're going to be people that walk in the Spirit, if we're going to be people that bear the fruit of the Spirit, then we got to get all of those uns out of our life. And so the more we get those uns out of our life, the more we'll be able to display the fruit of the Spirit and experience all God has for us. The first un that we need to get out of our life is unthankful. The end times culture will be an unthankful culture, and how appropriate is it for us on this Thanksgiving week just to be a reminder that, man, when we lose gratitude, it's always a heart issue. Whenever we lose awe, like you guys live in Southwest Florida, I was driving home from Pastor Blake and Brittany's house the other day and back to my in-law's house, and there's a sunset going over this bridge. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you guys see this all the time. Amazing thing here in Southwest Florida, you can go outside at night and you can actually see the stars. Where I'm at, you can't really see them. There's too many lights, but you guys can see the stars. And I walked out this week and I was like, wow, you're a big God. You do big things. Like, who am I that you'd be mindful of me? And anytime we lose the awe of who God is and that God would want a relationship with us, man, it's always a reminder to me that, Tim, that's a heart issue. And we gotta get that in check. There was this lady in our church. She actually led our prayer team. She was 93 years old, just an older seasoned faithful saint. And she had her knuckles were kind of gnarled with arthritis, and she was probably constantly in pain. 93 years old. I mean, just things don't work as well when you're 93 years old. But every Sunday, she'd find me. I'd be trying to get ready for a message like this and praying, reviewing my notes, and Noni Noble would find me. And here's what she'd say. She'd have rings on all these gnarled fingers. I can still see her little finger in my face. She'd say, oh, Tim, hasn't the Lord been good to us? And she'd go on a rant about, oh, he's forgiven all of our diseases. He's healed all of our sicknesses. He's removed all of our transgressions from us. Oh, Lord, Tim, hasn't the Lord been good to us? And she'd preach to me for about 30 minutes on the goodness of God before I'd ever be able to get out on stage and talk to a group like this. And she just lived from this posture of gratitude, which was a reminder to me that gratitude is not found in the abundance of stuff. It's found in a heart that chooses to be thankful. It's found in a heart that just chooses to be thankful. Elizabeth Elliot put it this way: it's always possible to be thankful for what is given rather than complain about what is not given. One or the other becomes a habit of life. And I think we all know what we'd want to choose, but it's a daily decision to be people that I'm going to choose to walk in gratitude. In good seasons, challenging seasons, God, you've been so good to me. I want to just issue you a gratitude challenge. Maybe just from now until Christmas, hope you'll accept this challenge. But the challenge is every day, find something new to thank God for that you've never given thanks to him for before in your life. For example, I was at the gym a couple weeks ago, and I was like, God, you know what? I don't think I've ever said thanks for Spotify. Thanks for Spotify. God, thanks for Amazon Music. Thanks for Apple iTunes, whatever you use for your streaming service. When's the last time you just gave thanks to God for that streaming service? Some of us are old enough to remember Walkmans. Walkmans is how we used to have to listen to music. It was these like rectangle things, like cassette, they're cassette tapes. But you put it in your Walkman, and you had this cord coming up, go over your ears. But it was like you had to pack around a hardcover book everywhere you went. It was good, but you kind of walked with a limp because it was so heavy. Then they improved it to Discman. Some of you remember CDs. They're these circular objects that you put music on. But the challenge with the Discman is you walk, it would skip, right? So some of you remember this. You had to walk like heel, toe, everywhere you went. But now you got more music on your device than you can listen to in one setting. Like, you got days and days of music. When's the last time you thanked God for Spotify, for streaming services? I'm just encouraging you from now, at least now until Christmas, man, think of something that you've never given thanks to God for and write it down and see how long you can keep the streak going. Let's be a grateful people, because the Lord's been so good and we have been blessed. Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now watch this. Here's the challenge. He's going to go on to talk about how people, this culture has fallen into sexual sin, homosexuality. They've exchanged natural relations for foreign relations, and a lot of times people focus there. But here's what's at the root of it. Look at it in verse 21. It says, for although they knew God, They neither glorified him. They didn't recognize him as God. They didn't make him the Lord, the ruler of their life. They didn't glorify him as God. Watch this. Nor did they give thanks to him. But their minds became futile and their foolish hearts became darkened. At the root of the issue was a heart that lost gratitude for a God who has been so good. And it's easy, this generation for sure, to get caught up in it. But how do we guard our hearts? Here's what Titus 3:3 says. At one time, we too were foolish. Anybody been there? Anybody ever been disobedient? Have you ever been deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures? We lived in malice, envy, hatred, hating one another. Watch this. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. Here's your next fill in the blank. The more grateful I am for the kindness of God towards me, the kinder I will be towards those around me. When I recognize, man, just as they're acting like a knucklehead, I remember, man, I've been a knucklehead. And it allows me just to be a little bit more kind. God, you've been so, so good to me. And if you've been that kind to me, I can surely be kind to some people around me. So if we're going to get the fruit of the Spirit on the inside, we got to start with, let's be grateful people. Second thing that's going to mark a godless generation, a kind of end-time generation, it's going to be marked by, they're going to be unholy. Unholy. And that word carries a whole lot of weight. It's something we don't talk about, honestly, a whole lot anymore. But really, this church, the whole AG movement was a holiness movement. It was a group of people that said, hey, we're going to live different lives. And that's what holiness is. We're not going to look like everyone else. We're going to be set apart and used by God. And man, we just don't talk about holiness a whole lot in our culture today, but it's certainly something that God has called us to. He's called us to live holy lives. And man, the more that we live unholy lives, not only do we not bear the fruit of the Spirit, it actually hurts you. It's a miserable life. Not only do you not experience God's best, it leads to all kinds of anxiety and feel like you always have to hide and live this double-faced kind of life when God's called you to be a whole person. It reminds me of the story of this boy who went to his mom and he wanted to have a buddy over, and so his name's Johnny. Johnny goes up to his mom. Mom, my buddy's coming over and we're going to watch a movie. And hey, his mom lets him watch this movie. It's actually rated R, Mom, but his mom lets him watch it, so it's probably going to be okay. And he's already told me, because he's already seen it, there's only a little bit of cussing. There's only a little bit of nudity, Mom. Not very much. And I think it'd be a good movie for us to watch. And she goes, well, much to his surprise, well, if it's only a little bit, sure. He's like, okay. He goes to his friend. He's like, you won't believe it. My mom said we could watch it. He's like, your mom said? Yeah, I know. I'm shocked too. And he's like, man, you're on a roll. And he's like, you know what? I am on a roll. I better go talk to my mom. Hey, you know, you've been so kind. It's great. So we're gonna watch this movie. Could you make some of your famous brownies for us as we watch the movie? Thinking his mom would say, no, like for sure. That's a hard stop. It's a school night. And she's like, well, yeah, sure. If everybody's coming up, yeah, sure. I'll make brownies. He's like, I'm like on top of the world. This is the best day ever. So he's downstairs with his buddy playing, and his mom starts whipping up this brownie batter. And about that time, they have this little dog, Bullet, and Bullet's in the backyard. She says, Bullet, drop a deuce, go number two. And she got this idea. She goes out and picks up a little bit of poo from Bullet, the dog, and she brings it inside, and not a lot, just a little bit, puts it in the brownie batter, starts mixing it in. And you couldn't really even smell it or taste it. So she puts it in the oven. All the brownies are hot, coming out. Mom goes downstairs with this big platter of brownies. They're steaming hot. And she goes, hey, boys, I got the brownies. Mom, you're the best. You're the best mom ever. These brownies look delicious. They smell delicious too, Mom. They pile them on. And these boys, little Johnny's about to take a bite, right when his mom says, whoa, hey, I just need to tell you something before you take a bite. I saw Bullet go in the backyard and do his business. I want you to know, I just took a little bit and mixed it in that brownie batter. And you boys just enjoy the movie. Because only a little bit of nudity, only a little bit of cussing. You just enjoy that and enjoy those brownies too. Not much, just a little bit. And those boys learned a valuable lesson that day that I hope you and I learn as well, that a little bit goes a long way. It doesn't take a whole lot of poo in your life to move from holy to unholy. to move from living a life that honors God. God, we're your kids. We just want to live life that pleases you. And we can justify just a little bit But how many of you know a little bit, it goes a long way. And God's called us to be holy people, to be different people, to be set apart. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says this, guard your heart above all else. Like above all else, keep the brownie batter clean. Above all else, guard your heart, for it will determine the course of your life. Listen, if you feel like, man, my life's on a wrong course, it starts in your heart. And so guard your heart. Here's the next fill in the blank, and just a good question for you to spend some time in the presence of God processing. And here's the question. Is my heart a welcoming place for the presence of God? Is my heart a welcoming place for the presence of God? Romans 11:22 says, consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness towards those who fell, those who just kept allowing a little brownie batter getting mixed in and not good. But kindness towards you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And here's a question. What do we do? All of us, no one's perfect. And so what do you do whenever you find a little dew mixed in the brownie batter of your life? How do you respond in those seasons? The word that the Bible uses is this word repent. And repent simply means this. It's a change of mind and heart that leads to a turning away from sin and a turning back towards God. God, I've mixed some things in my life that shouldn't have been there. And I recognize it. I'm going to change my mind in that area. I'm going to turn back to you. I'm going to change my actions in those areas. Proverbs 21:21 says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Everything that you and I want out of life. And here's the last fill in the blank here. It's true repentance means we change our minds. We change our minds and direction so deeply that it actually changes us. We become different people. And that's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. Now, I had this girl come to me at the end of one of our services, and she said, hey, pastor, I like your church, but if I start going to your church, are you going to try to change me? I said, well, actually, yes. And I hope he changes me. I hope I'm a better pastor this time next year than I am today. I hope I'm a better husband. I hope I'm a better father. I hope I change. God, would you change me? I hope I have more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. I hope you have more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life this time next week than you do today. Like he's in the transformation business, and repentance is simply when we change our minds and change our direction so deeply that it changes us. Here's the third, unloving. Unloving. And I don't feel like I have to camp out on this one very long, because I think you guys get this one pretty good. I think you guys are a loving bunch of people. I think you guys love people well. Just hearing what Pastor Blake talks about, how you guys love Southwest Florida and all the things you do for this community, all the things you ways you display love to missionaries abroad, how you're impacting people around the globe. It's actually a beautiful, beautiful thing. But we live in a culture that would rather draw lines and be divisive. We live in a culture that says, hey, if you're on that side, you're the enemy. If you're on this side, you're on the good side. And depending on who you're talking to, you don't know which side you're on. When we're called to love people, we're called to show kindness towards other people, regardless of who they vote for, regardless of their background, their pedigree, or their current posture of life. And I just love that about you, the Breeze Church. Because I know when people come in here that look differently than you, think differently than you. You guys, you're still welcome with the same smiling faces. And no, God's created them in their image, in God's image, and God has a plan and a purpose for them. You take them on that journey, and it's a beautiful thing. But there's a lot of ways for us to display love, and really one of the ways is through your generosity. And you guys are such a generous church. I just want to, I'm not Pastor Blake, but I just want to say thanks to all the tithers here. You guys know God's word says to put him first, give the first and the best, 10%. That's a lot for a lot of people, but you guys trust him in that area. You're displaying love in a tangible way. You don't have to wait for something catastrophic to happen. You don't have to wait for an emotional video to give. You just give because you love God, and it's a beautiful thing. And I recognize in this room, not everybody's there, but I just think God's going to mature you in that area so you can experience all the good things that God has in that area of your life. It's the best return on investment you're ever going to make. I mean, better than Bitcoin, better than AI, whatever you can invest in. Here's what Proverbs 19:17 says. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Like God's like, I'll repay you for that. I saw what you did. I'll reward you for that. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none of you repays another evil for evil, but always aim at kindness. I don't know if you've ever been hunting or we got any hunters in the room, but whenever you pull up that bow, whenever you pull up that gun, you're aiming at a target. And Paul's saying, hey, the aim that you're really shooting for in life is to show kindness and seek to do good for others and for everybody else. And there's a lot of ways for you to display kindness and display love in this season. We got the giving wall back here. Like, you can go over after service, as you saw in the announcements, grab a couple of those tags. You can provide hope for some kids, some families, just a practical way to show kindness, to display love in this season. You got your legacy offering happening next week. Great way to show love and kindness towards people that desperately need it. In the season of Christmas, I mean, you got your services starting December 8th. Great way to show kindness, to invite buddy on the ball team, family that maybe doesn't know God, disconnected. Great way to show kindness. They can connect with their creator and you'll be serving them, being kind in that process. Let's be people that show kindness, huh? Display love in a real way. Mark of the end times is going to be an unloving culture, but not you, Breeze Church. You're going to display love in practical ways. Here's the last one. Here's the fourth one. Unforgiving. Mark of the end times, people are just going to hold on to grudges, be unrelenting. But for us, who want the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we're going to be people who are quick to forgive, people who display forgiveness. It's been said that unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire and hoping they die from smoke inhalation. Like, no, you're the one who's suffering. It's not hurting them, but we can think whenever things happen that are out of our control, especially when things are out of our control, that the only thing we can't control is our anger. The only thing we can't control is our unforgiveness. And we're like, and you can't take this from me. However, you're the one who suffers. And you might be like, well, Tim, you don't know what they did. And I don't. But I'm not trying to help them, I'm trying to help you. And forgiveness is something that you do not for them. You do it actually for yourself because God has been so generous in forgiving you and I. Matter of fact, every time you see kindness, almost every time, you see kindness in the New Testament, it's also coupled with forgiveness. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Here it is, be kind. Be kind and compassionate to one another. How do we do that? Forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. High calling, not easy. But for children of God, this is what we're called to, be people who are quick to forgive. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, you have to clothe yourself. It's a conscious decision. Just like you woke up this morning, you chose what you're going to wear to church. And you're looking good today, by the way. Nice choice. But Paul's saying, hey, choose this too. Clothe yourself with compassion. Here it is, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other, forgive one another. Whatever grievances you have against one another, forgive. The Lord forgave you. Not easy, high calling. Lewis Schmid wrote a book in 2007, kind of an older book now, but it's called Forgive and Forget, Healing the Hurts That We Don't Deserve. And I recognize in a room like this, you receive some hurts that you didn't deserve. I'm not saying it's right, I'm saying it is. I also know the Bible's called us to let some of those things go. Again, you do it not for them, you do it for you. You can allow the Holy Spirit to have a welcoming home here in your heart, experience all the fruit of the Spirit that God wants for you. But in that book, Schmid, he writes this, and this is your last fill in the blank. It's actually a quote from his book. He says, to forgive is to free the prisoner and discover that the prisoner was me. Listen, you want freedom? It's on the other side of forgiveness. When you display forgiveness, freedom walks in. And that's what God has for you. I close with a story by Richard Wurmbrand. He actually is the guy who started Voice of the Martyrs. If you've ever heard of Voice of the Martyrs, it's a great organization. Just talks about how the church is being persecuted around the globe. And Richard was himself persecuted. He was held in a communist camp in Romania for 14 years. For 14 years, he was brutally treated as a follower of Jesus. He wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. And in that book, he talks about how while in this Romanian concentration camp, these guards would come into his cell every night and they'd take these sticks and they'd beat the bottoms of his feet. And then they'd make him walk around the cell and say, I'm being beaten because I love Jesus. I'm being beaten for my love for Christ. I'm being beaten for my love for Christ. And after they said, hey, as soon as you renounce your faith, we'll stop beating you. You can go home, be with your family, see your kids again. He said, well, I love Jesus and I could never renounce him. jailers marked how they would hear Richard praying for them even after their beatings. God, I pray for those men that just beat me. I pray, God, you give them everything in life that I want. I pray, God, you make them successful men. That, God, they love their family well. They provide well. God, I pray for their freedom. God, they'll never be held captive like I am. Baffled their guards. What kind of man would do this? After 14 years of having his feet beaten, once he was released, he'd never be able to walk the same. Always had to walk with a cane. His feet were gnarled from bones being broken and never able to repair correctly. They put him in this cell, solitary confinement. They actually buried it 30 feet underground. And they held him in this cell for 3 years. One time they'd open the hatch would be to let a little food down so he could stay alive. They tried to break him mentally, dead silent, no light. But Richard remarked, those were some of the sweetest times he had in the presence of God. He said every night there was joy in my heart so much that I was just overflowing. I would get up and dance in the dark before the Lord. He said, I couldn't contain it. And if you're like me, you might be thinking, what kind of a dude is this? Like, I'm going without seeing my family for 14 years, getting beaten, starved, left in the dark, cold, living in rags. How could a guy do that? Well, in a word, Jesus. And to the degree that sounds absurd to you, or it sounds absurd to me, it's just a reminder to me that I have so much more to learn. I have so much more to grow. I have so much more room in my heart for the Holy Spirit to fill so I can be a man like that. And for all of us to take hold of it, it begins, man, let's just be people this week that are thankful, huh? Let's be people that man, we're going to get some of the dew out of the brownie batter of life. We're going to be holy people. We're going to be people who walk in love. And anywhere we got bitterness, anywhere we got unforgiveness, we're going to let people go. Because that's how Jesus has loved you and Jesus has loved me. Let's model his example for us. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your loving kindness in our life, for being so faithful. Even when we're faithless, God, you remain faithful because it's who you are, and God, we're grateful for that. So God, this week, I pray you'd help me. I pray, God, you'd help all my friends here at the Breeze Church to be people who display your attributes, God. People as they go to Thanksgiving dinners, as they prepare for Thanksgiving meals, as they travel, as they go about life, they walk in love and joy and peace and patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because God, you've been all those things to us. So God, may it begin with us. May it begin the core of who we are. May it well up and bear fruit to this world around us. I pray it over your church today, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.